بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته إلى آخر الآية صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف أنتم إذا نزل ابن مريم من السماء فيكم وإمامكم منكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the short time that we share together. Very important topic, which is a belief that should be concrete within our hearts and minds, and we should instill this into the hearts and minds of our children and our young ones also, likewise. And there's a great need to be aware of the correct beliefs and have our aqeedah proper and sound so we are successful on the day of Qiyamah also. So the discussion we have to share today is regarding some of the signs of the day of the final hour or the day of Qiyamah and the return and the nuzul of Sayyiduna Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam. Quran Sharif says regarding him, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ, that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam is a sign of the final hour. Isa alayhi salam is amongst the signs of the final day, the final hour, which will come to pass. Allah Pak says in the Quran Sharif, وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسِ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, that Isa alayhi salatu wassalam spoke to the people in his infancy and his middle age, kahlan. Kahlan refers to an age which starts after 40. So Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, our aqeedah is, he was taken to the heavens in his physical form, with his body and his ruh into the second heaven, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam met with him on the night of Mi'raj. Then he will return back to the earth, live for a period of 40 years, and he will speak to the people. Allah Pak says in the Quran Sharif that he spoke kahlan in middle age. This will only happen when he will return back to the earth, so he could fulfill the command of this ayat by speaking to the people. Allah Pak will teach him, وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, Quran Sharif ayat. Allah Pak will teach Isa alayhi salam the kitab and hikmat. What is kitab and hikmat? Quran and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now if he is not to return back to the earth, why is Allah Pak teaching Isa alayhi salam Quran and sunnah? Al-kitab wal-hikmah, wal-tawrata wal-injil, and the tawrat and the injil. So he'll be a man of immense knowledge. Allah Pak will send him back onto this earth. And every single person on the face of this earth at that time, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لِيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِ, every single person, Ahl al-Kitab, Jew and Christian, in particular the Christians, will bring iman upon him. So when is this going to happen? When he will return back to this earth. So this is the first point of aqeedah, concrete. We have to establish this inside our minds and in the mind of our children. Isa alayhi salam will return back to the earth. Allah Pak give us tawfiq to understand this. This is the first aspect. Now Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi was a great mufassir and a muhaddith of his era. He says the denying of both Isa alayhi salam descending and the prophethood of Isa alayhi salam is kufr. A person who denies that he's not going to come back to the earth, that person becomes a kafir because he denies the basics of Quran and Sunnah. There are over 112 sahih ahadith that prove the fact of Isa alayhi salam returning back to this earth. Balki to the extent Rasulullah also told the sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when any of you live to see Isa alayhi salam, give my salam to him. Sayyidina Abu Huraira, a hadith of Musnad Ahmad Sharif, has mentioned that if any of you happen to see Isa alayhi salam, tell him Abu Huraira give salam to you also. Rasulullah has mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will come to my qabr, he will give salam at my qabr, I will reply back to him wa alayhi salam. He will also be buried inside the chamber in which Rasulullah is buried sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's many ahadith on this topic. There's no second opinion regarding this. So Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti further mentions by saying, Anyone who disbelieves in this aqeedah, in this belief that Isa alayhi salam is to come back to the earth, and anyone who disbelieves in this becomes a kafir, after establishing that person is a kafir, anyone who regards him still a Muslim becomes a kafir as well. So look how important this aqeedah is of Isa alayhi salam returning back to this earth. Allah Pak keep us firm upon this. Majority of the people who go astray in regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Jews went astray regarding Isa alayhi salam. Because what did they say? وَقَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ. We have killed Isa alayhi salam. The Jews said this. They went astray. They said, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مَرْيَمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامْ. She did zina with a Roman soldier and Isa alayhi salam was born. They went astray because of this. The Christians went astray. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنَ مَرْيَمْ. They said, Allah is Isa alayhi salam. They went astray because of this. They began to say, He is the Son of God. They went astray because of this. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani said, I am Isa alayhi salam. He said, I am Isa alayhi salam. First he denied the coming of Isa alayhi salam. Then when he realized that there's a tawatur and succession in narrations of Isa alayhi salam coming, he said, okay, I am Isa alayhi salam then. Again, he went astray. And many, many people with corrupt aqidah go astray. So if a Muslim with the correct knowledge does not pass this knowledge on to others, he will go astray. Unfortunately, my dear friends, respected elders, in our schools, this ideology of the play of nativity and so on and so forth is taught to children. Parents don't get involved to say it's a religious right of my child that he shouldn't participate inside these such practices. And the shirk that a child does, our Ustad Shaykh al-Hadith Mufti in Atlas have told us in theirs, the sin of that shirk goes on the shoulders of the parents. Because you did not stop your child from these such shirkiyah beliefs. And it happens every year. It happens in Easter time, it happens in Christmas time. But ulama have said to the extent, don't even say they are Christmas holidays. Don't even use the word Christmas to say holidays. Just say it's the winter break. I mean, disassociate yourself. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal would say, Rahmat, I'm going off my topic, but it's important. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal would say, Rahmatullah alayh, whenever he saw a Christian walk past, he would close his eyes. And he would say, I don't have the strength inside me to look upon that person who lies regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lie regarding Allah, ki Allah ta'ala had a son. وَقَالَتْ النَّصَارَ عِيسَى إِبْنُ اللَّهِ عِيسَى الْإِسْلَامِ is a son of Allah. They lied regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can I even look at such people? So this is the rigidness and the importance of this aqidah that has to be instilled inside our children. Allah pagi for all of us tawfiq. This includes saying Merry Christmas. It's not jais in Islam to say Merry Christmas. To send a Christmas card, it's not allowed to send a Merry Christmas card or say to them Merry Christmas. Oh, I'm showing them empathy, sympathy and love as a neighbor. Say to them, we wish you festive greetings. We wish you happy season, new year. And in that wish, make the intention of their hidayat. But don't say Merry Christmas to them. This is what has been taught to us from the Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah would say, rahmatullahi, to congratulate the disbelievers upon a festival and a celebration is similar to be happy upon them doing sajda to an idol. This is our aslaf telling us the importance of this. Allah Pak says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّهُ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Those who don't witness the falsehood, when they walk past this futility, they walk with dignity and honor. They'll have jannat in the hereafter. High levels of upper stories and balconies of jannat. What is zur? Ulama have said, Ibn Abbas, Imam Mujahid, Abu Qatada have said, rahmatullah alayhima radhiyallahu anhuma, that zur means the festivals of the non-Muslims, celebration of the non-Muslims. You don't participate, you don't look towards them, you walk away from them with honor and dignity. So this is the aqidah regarding the Christianity that we have to hold inside our hearts. Allah Paak keep us firm upon this. Everyone understands this? Allah Paak give us tawfiq. Moving on to the actual topic. So our belief regarding the return of Isa alayhi salam, that he will come back to the earth, is established through succession of tawatur hadith. Once Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Yahud, hadith found Ibn Kathir, قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لليهود أن عيسى لم يمت وإنه راجع إليكم قبل يوم القيامة. O Yahudi, O Jews, know that Isa alayhi salam will return back onto this earth before the day of Qiyamah. Because the Jews would say, we have killed him. إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا عِيسَى بِنْ مَرْيَمْ. We've killed Isa alayhi salam. And we buried him, we crucified him, we buried him. And Rasulullah said, no, he's not being killed. He's not dead. He's going to come back to this earth. And one reason for his coming back is to show the Jews that you didn't kill him. He's alive physically in the heavens. And because he's made from turab, Allah Pak made him from the earth, he'll return back into this earth. He can't be living in heavens or die in the heavens. He has to come back to the earth and be resurrected from the earth, from the chamber of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One hadith of Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي, I swear by him in his hand is my life, لَيُشِكَنَّ أَن يَنْزِلَ فِيكُمْ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمْ حَكْمًا عَدْلًا. A time will come when Isa alayhi salam will be come back to this earth as a just ruler. فَيَكْسِرُ الصَّلِيبُ, he will break the cross. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَيَدُقُّ الصَّلِيبُ, he will, you know, make it to pieces, the cross. Number two, وَيَقْتُلُ الْخِنْزِيرِ, he will kill the swine and the pig. And number three, وَيَضَعُ الْجِزْيَ, أو فِي رِوَايَةٍ وَيَضَعُ الْحَرْبِ, and he will stop the jizya. Now, why will he destroy the cross? Because to show the Christians, I am not the son of God, nor did I die upon the cross. So when the Christians will see the cross has been broke, all of them will say, أَشْهَدُ وَاللَّهِ إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَشْهَدُ وَنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They will believe inside the kalima of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that he will, وَيَقْتُلُ الْخِنْزِيرِ, he will kill the swine and the pig. Why? To show them, from now on you're not allowed to eat haram as you are Muslims. You're not allowed to eat haram anymore. This pork and wine is forbidden in Islam. And وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, Allah Pak will give him the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah and Tawrat and Injil in its pristine form. And he will judge the people and guide the people and govern the people through Quran and Sunnah. And he will tell them the actual meaning of Tawrat and Injil, so none of them can do anything haram. And then number three, وَيَذَعُ الْحَرْبَ, and then no more wars will be left. وَيَذَعُ الْجِزْيَ, he'll stop the jizya. Why? Jizya is taken from a non-Muslim, given to the capital of Islam to live under the peace of a Muslim ruler. There's no non-Muslims left, there's no jizya left. And this is the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, a time will come in my ummah when Islam, the kalima of mine, will enter inside every single baked and unbaked bricked house in the whole of the world. That's the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Pak keep us firm upon this aqeedah. So this is another thing. We about to understand this point of aqeedah as well. Rasulullah also said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kayfa antum, how will you people be? إِذْ نَزَلَ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيكُمْ, when Isa al-Islam will return from the heavens amongst you, وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ, and your Imam will be amongst you. Two meanings. One is, Imam Mahdi will be amongst you as your Imam for 7 to 9 years. Or number two, إِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ, your Imam will be from you, meaning Isa al-Islam will become your Imam and teach you through the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Isa al-Islam will return in a period closer to the day of Qiyamah. We understand this has been established from the Quran and Sunnah and many, many ahadith and fatawas of 14 major countries and hundreds of ulama al-haqqa have strengthened this by giving the fatawa, and we understood this aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah tawatur succession in this. Now, when will Isa alayhi salam return, descend? This is what I want to quickly go through so all the youngsters can put this aqidah inside their mind as well. Now, Isa al-Islam will come to this earth when all of the minor signs will have been established. Ulama have mentioned, the research muhakkik ulama have said, in total there are 131 minor signs of the day of Qiyamah. I will mention about 10-15 in a short while. 131 approximate minor signs, some of which have come, some of which will yet to come. After they have been finished, two major signs will begin, and Isa al-Islam will be the third major sign. The first major sign will be the return of Imam Mahdi. That will be the first major sign. The second major sign will be Dajjal. And then the third major sign will be Isa alayhi salam. And the fourth one will be Yajuj and Majuj. And there will be 10 in total until the end. Three landslides, that's three major signs. Then will be Dabatul Ard, a beast will come from the earth. If time allows, I'll go into this. From between Safa and Marwa, near the mountain of Safa and Marwa. Then the sun will rise up from the west, from the place of setting. And then there will be a fire that will push the people from Yemen towards the land of Mahshar, towards Syria and Sham. And there will be a wind that will blow. And then that wind, it will touch the armpits of the believers. They will die from that. And then Qiyamah is revealed. The trumpet will be blown upon the evil people. And then Qiyamah will be established. Allah Pak make it easy for all of us. My dear friends, these are no fairy tales or myths or fables or just anecdotes made up. This is haqiqat on which Rasulullah has explained to us. over and over. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ. The Quran is replete of these. That إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. Qiyamah is coming, there's no shock inside it. So much. The first sign of the day of Qiyamah, you know what it is? The first sign is the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he has come, Qiyamah is coming. Because Qiyamah has to be established when Hazrat our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be sent to this world. So Rasulullah said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend upon the Isha minaret, yanzuru Isa ibn Maryam, inda al manari bayda'i Damishqi, sharqi Damishq, in the city of Damascus, in the city of Sham in Syria, on the eastern side of the white minaret, which was built in 741 Hijri, approximately 700 years ago by Christians. Christians built the white minaret. Rasulullah prophesied this many 1400 years ago, and then 700 years later, a white minaret was built. And Rasulullah also mentioned the white minaret from which Isa al-Islam will descend upon the earth. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So briefly going through some of the sequences here of the events as they unfold, building up to the coming of Isa alayhi salam. Mind the signs, compare them to what I say now. Compare them to our age, and we'll understand how close or how far away we are from the actual reality of the advent of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Giving salam, we will give salam to those people that we only know. We won't give salam to people who are not our friends. We will begin to sever the ties of kinship. Brother will not speak to brother, husband will not speak to wife, father will not speak to his son. Friends will bring their friends closer. Adana sadiqahu waqsa abahu. He will push his father away, bring his friends closer to him. Literature will become prevalent everywhere. There'll be so much access to knowledge that never before. You can download a book on a click of a button. You can listen to a bayan through just one surf in the internet. There'll be information upon information. There'll be a flow of information. Look at that time right now. Before, you to study a book of hadith, you had to go to madrasa. Now you've got 1,000 books of hadith inside a microchip inside your phone on the screen in your hand. So there'll be information beyond the scope of what a person can imagine. Zakat will become a burden. People will complain about giving zakat. Female will dominate their husband. They will steer them towards evil. Dancing, singing, music will become common. Adultery, shamelessness will become common. Time will begin to pass quickly. Again, like I said, reflect and ponder what is happening around us today. Sudden deaths will happen. Person is totally fit and healthy. He's outside in the playing football in the pitch, or it's going to come back from the gym. All of a sudden, he'll just fall down. He will die. There's no explanation behind his death. Sudden death. Mautul fuja'a. This is also a sign of the day of Qiyamah. Dowries will become expensive. Youngsters won't be able to get married because the mahar is so expensive. The demand will be such that you have to pay such an extortionate rate for mahar. People will not want to get married. They'll be rather happy by doing zina and fornication. Allah protect all of us. Lying will become common. Professional liars will just pop up. They'll lie in such a way that you will believe them to be truthful. When you do your research into it, you realize that's a massive lie or a pack of lies he has told you. There'll be discord in people. You'll be in one masjid, but there'll be enemies sitting inside the masjids together, will not talk with one another. There'll be problems, discord, enmity, bukht, adawat, even in the religious people as well. There'll be lots of wealth. Wealth will become the talk of the day. Everyone will be earning loads of money. Everyone will be complaining about their finances, that I don't have enough money. Halaki, everyone will have thousands and thousands and thousands stacked up inside their bank account, and they take many and they enjoy, count that money over and over. Arabia will be turned back to meadows. That black mountains or red mountains or brown mountains, you'll see greenery growing. You've seen this yourself, right? Greenery and meadows will be growing in lush gardens there. Even the new moon, the Rasulullah said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will look bigger than normal. The new moon will seem bigger than normal. We've seen this, I've seen this, you've seen this also. Buildings of Makkah will become high. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the non-Muslim would not build a building taller than Baytullah, the roof of Baytullah, out of disrespect. Now look at the buildings. You recognize Baytullah from the buildings where you are many miles away. Oh, there's clock tower. So Makkah, Baytullah is in this direction. And every single building is getting higher and higher. Then also Rasulullah said, new means of transportation will be introduced. Going back 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, there was no such thing as cars, no such thing as bicycles, no such thing as trains or airplanes. every time there's new transportation, and it's still innovating. There's talks about flying cars, or there's, you know, electric, or there's, you know, without petrol, without diesel, and it's innovating all the time. This is what Rasulullah indicated towards also sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People will distort the teachings of deen to suit themselves. Women will be proportionally greater in numbers. Check the stats yourself. Numbers of women in each country, in universities, in colleges. But even in madaris, we check our maktab, which is run adjacent here to the masjid. Majority are girls studying. Universities, majority are girls, women. In Darul Ulooms, you see there's so much demand for girls. Alima classes. There are more Alima classes in Berlin also than Alim classes. There's proportionally women more than men. Non-believers will begin to rule. The customs will dominate. Floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, natural disasters will occur in abundance. Disrespect will happen in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will talk about world and raise their voices inside the house of Allah. Isn't that happening today? People will decorate their houses. People will go to the extent of buying the most expensive, lavish furniture to decorate their homes. Isn't that happening today? People will decorate their masjids to vibe with the next masjid. My masjid looks better than your masjid. That's also happening today. People will imitate non-Muslims. Divorce will become rife. The region of Arabia will be abundance of wealth. Such abundance of wealth that you can buy a Leonardo da Vinci painting worth £480 million. And, you know, it's not even in your pocket to even one pence worth. It's happening in Arabia. Abundance of wealth. No problem whatsoever. Bribes and rishwat will become the guise of gifts. Rishwat and bribery will be common. Wars and battles will be fought often. Homosexuality. Men will want to dress like women. Women will want to dress like men. Alcohol will increase. Look around you. How much shops are serving beverages, alcohol, and then check, are they Muslim or non-Muslim? There's more Muslim alcohol shops in Burnley than non-Muslim selling alcohol. Rasulullah has said this. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spoke the truth. Time will become fast by barakati and obedience to wife over mother. So therefore, every religion has a distinguishing quality. There's a saying, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقًا وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاءِ. Every religion has a distinctive quality. The quality of Islam is haya, modesty, being shy, being bashful. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنِئْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you lose haya and modesty, do what you want. Modesty is when a youngster can drive past the masjid now with music blaring through his speakers and not feeling shy or upset or guilty, I'm driving past the masjid. This is bihayai. Behayai is when our sisters can go out of their home with their heads uncovered, going out late night, mingling with brothers, mingling with boys, mingling with opposite gender, going out late night, going to shisha cafes, having food, coming back home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Does it matter, boys are doing it, why can't we do it? Do you understand my point? Behayai is when, look around us, behayai is when a person will go out, a sister will go out dressed how she wants, No ghairat at all, at whatsoever, for the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bihaya is when a boy and a girl, you know, they do zina commonly, and they say, "We're discussing deen, we're discussing, you know, we are like friends amongst ourselves." And there's bepardigi. It is destroyed in our homes. The funeral of bihaya is taking place inside our homes. Zina numbers are massive, and we are saying, "Oh, we're not responsible for this." This is what the deen is talking about. This is what the signs of the day of Qiyamah are talking about. Rasulullah said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the women will walk wearing clothes, but it will seem as though they're not wearing clothes. Be wearing clothes as though they're not wearing clothes. They'll be wearing hijabs like the humps of camels upon their heads. All the hair will be put up, and there'll be fashion to how to wear hijab, fashion of niqab, fashion of jubba, fashion of how to dress your style in your hijab. What hijab? What hijab? What niqab? What jilbab? People are more enticed to look at this new fashion of hijab than looking at people not wearing full clothes. This is shaitanic influence. And this is exactly what Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. one Misr Sha'ir, his name was Shawqi, he said, إِنَّمَا الْأُمَمُ بِالْأَخْلَاقِ مَا بَقِيتُ. The nations are preserved through the akhlaq. Remember, our akhlaq, this ummah, is haya. What's our akhlaq? Haya. This ummah of Rasulullah is preserved because of haya. He said, إِنَّمَا الْأُمَمُ بِالْأَخْلَاقِ مَا بَقِيتُ. The nations are preserved through the akhlaq. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ أَخْلَاقُهُمْ ذَهَبُوا. When the akhlaq is taken away, the ummah is destroyed. Our ummah, look at the condition of our youngsters. Be haya, you in your handset, you're looking at indecent images. You're looking at images which is haram. You're following people, you're looking. You're saying all night you're away looking at haram, doing haram. Haya has gone from a person's life. Allah protect all of us. And my dear friends, let me go a step further and say, it's not just youngsters and people away from deen. Deen dar tabqa is also involved in this. Because you know nobody's watching you. It's the darkness of the night. I'm in the comfort of my bed. I have the phone inside the palm of my hand. I can watch what I want, listen to what I want. I can surf what I want. I can read what I want. Nobody's to question you, take my accountability. This is how much shaitan takes over our mind and our psyche. Allah Ta'ala protect all of us. These are all signs of the day of Qiyamah. This is the topic of today's discussion, and these are the reasons why Qiyamah is going to come faster inside our homes. Acha. Thereafter, when all the minor signs will be witnessed, major signs will follow very close. So minor signs will finish. Now all of these signs that I have said, hand on heart, are they here or are they not here? They are here. So how close are we to major signs? And the first major sign is Imam Mahdi. He will come onto this earth. Muslims will be, okay, a few more signs. Muslims will be the weakest at that time. Look at us today. Muslims will be suffering in the world. Muslims will have the greatest disunity in the world. Look at our condition. They have the greatest disunity. So a great need will be felt for a leader, for an imam to lead the Muslims to victory. Everyone will feel, gosh, we had one leader that could unite the banner of Muslims and Islam under one man, and he could be the savior and the solution for the problem and fitna of the whole world. Everyone will be making dua, oh Allah, send us one imam, send us one imam. At that time, there will be major battles taking place between Muslims and non-Muslims. Look around the world, what is happening? Disunity is happening. So during that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then decide to send Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan. Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan will come, sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Mahdi will reside in Madinatul Munawwara. Remember, up until now, approximately 10 people have claimed to be Mahdi. It is all lie, all bogus. Someone from Sudan, someone from this place, someone from that place. Many people have tried to lay claim that I'm the Mahdi. They have not been the Mahdi. Imam Mahdi will be born in Madinah Munawwara. The Khalif of Madinah Munawwara at that time will die. Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan, whose actual name is Muhammad. What's his name? Muhammad ibn Abdullah. His father's name is Abdullah. His mother's name is Amina. His name is Muhammad alayhi ridwan. He will run out of Madinah Munawwara to get to Makkah al-Mukarrama when the Khalifa dies. When he will get to Makkah al-Mukarrama, he will be doing tawaf. When he reaches the Hajar al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim, the Abdals, the Awliya, the Aqtab and the Awtad, Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Abdals exist. And inshallah, one topic I will discuss on the Abdals of this topic. Allah Ba'a give us tawfiq. They will recognize him whilst doing tawaf. They will say, you are the Mahdi. He will run from the people. People will insist, okay, you are the Mahdi. He will keep on refusing the position of the Amir. Initially, he will refuse. Later, he will accept, okay, you can do bayt at my hand. The moment he will say, I am Imam Mahdi, a voice will be heard from the unseen to confirm this. He is the Mahdi. A voice will be heard. He is the Mahdi. He is the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Imam of today's day and age. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He will rule in a way similar to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first sign will be an army will come to fight him from Syria. They will get swallowed in a place called Bayda between Makkah and Medina. That's the first sign that he is a Mahdi. When this will happen, the Awliya and the Abdal and the Awtad and the Aqtab of Iraq and Sham will come together and pledge allegiance at his hand. You'll have all the ulama, the Awliya at his hand pledging allegiance to him. Then people from far and wide who will recognize will come to also to pledge bayt at his hand. Then there'll be battles with non-Muslims. Allah Pak will grant victory upon victory to Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan. Allahu Akbar. Allah Pak show us that day. Amen. Oh, we hear of that day where there's so much, you know, peace and unity and solace and comfort for the Ummah of Rasulullah. Great peace and prosperity, and this will continue to happen until then Dajjal will emerge. Now, one point of Aqeedah here, just to refute Ahle Batil, the Shia, they say Imam Mahdi, his actual name is Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Askari. He is our 12th Imam in the Imamiyyah, the Ethna Ashariyah. There are 85% of Shia of this world living today are Ethna Ashariyah, and is muttafaqun alayh upon their kufr. There is no second opinion that they are misguided or they are bid'ah. They are kafir. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah established that Shia are kafir, Ethna Ashariyah. It's 85% of the world population of Shia are Ethna Ashariyah right now. So they say that our Imam Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Askari, he went into a tunnel or a cave called Samurra. Samurra is in Iraq, near the border of Iran. And he went in there in the year 260 Hijri. He was 5 years old and he is alive and he sees everything. He hears everything, but is hidden from the eyes of man. And he knows what's happening around him. And then he will come out and he'll be the final Imam. Bogus. Made up Aqeedah, Batil Aqeedah. There's nothing of this site, nothing of this idea. They also say he's from the lineage of Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu. Halanke, Imam Hazrat Mahdi alayhi Ridwan will be from the lineage of Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hassan ibn Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the son of Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. His name will be Muhammad. His father is Abdullah. Mother is Amina. He'll be tall. He'll be fair in complexion. Be similar features to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will have a slight stutter. When he will speak, he will stutter a little bit. And when he will stutter, he'll get a bit frustrated. And out of that frustration, occasionally, he will hit his hand on his thigh. When he wants to say something and he will struggle to say it, he will do this and then he will speak. He'll have a slight stutter on his tongue. High bridge north, similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He'll be 40 years old when he will emerge as the Imam Mahdi alayhi Ridwan. He will rule for 7 to 9 years. Then his death will happen and the Muslim will perform his janazah upon that. Okay, so that's Imam Mahdi. That's the first major sign. Second major sign is when the Dajjal will come. Now, during this time of 7 to 9 years, the Dajjal will appear. Well, he will emerge between Syria and Iraq with fame, but before that he'll come from Khorasan. Now remember, Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah, there'll be no greater evil than the evil of Dajjal. In physical resemblance, he resembles a person called Abdul Uzza ibn Qatn. Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One point worthy of which we should keep in our mind here is, look, Rasulullah, he went to the minutest detail. Have you noticed that? The minutest detail regarding Imam Mahdi. So nobody can say I'm the claim to be the Mahdi. The minutest detail regarding Dajjal. So people are fully aware when he will come. Abdul Uzza ibn Qatan, he will be born amongst the Jews. His mother will be a large-breasted, heavy woman. His father will be a tall man with a long nose of skinny body. Look at the description. Look at the description. He'll be born in a Jewish family. His right eye will be protruding from the socket like a rotten grape. He'll be blind from that eye. And his left eye, he'll have a skin over his left eye. From the left eye, he will be able to see the people. On his forehead will be written Kafarad. People of Iman will see this. He will be short in height. He will have crooked legs. It's called langrapan. His knees will be bent inwards. So when he walks, his feet are inwards and he walks. Crooked type of a walk. He will have twisty, curly, pechida bar, like curly hair. And he will have a large forehead. He will be, shoulders will be also wide. And he will travel swiftly with a large following of the Jews, women, and those who are addicted to listening to music. They will be in his army. And the Shia will also be in his army. I'll explain that shortly after as well. So initially, first he will claim to be prophet. Then first miracle, then he'll do, you know, magician, sorcery, witchcraft. Then he'll say, I'm a man of miracle. Then I'm a man of prophethood. Then he'll say, I'm Allah himself. I am Allah himself. Allah Ta'ala protect all of us from this aqidah. So Rasulullah said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if Dajjal tricks you so much, and he will trick us, men will tie their wives, their daughters, and their sisters with the rope at home. Hadith of Rasulullah. He will trick you so much that a man will tie his womenfolk at home. They will say, oh, let us go and see. And the Prophet said, if you go and see, you'll join his army. That's how difficult the fitna will be at that time. Hazrat Thanvi says, Rahmatullah, when you look at Dajjal, you will consider him to be a pious man. Oh, Hazrat. But when you look at him closely, realize there's no sunnah in his life, then you'll go away from him. Ajib. How he will trick the people. A person will say, let me go and look at Dajjal's tamasha. Rasulullah said, whoever goes, he'll join him. Rasulullah said, if you see Dajjal, pray Surah Kahf in front of him. Allah will protect you from his fitna. Allah Ta'ala save all of us. Rasulullah said, if you forget everything that I've said, to the nearest meaning, that if nothing makes sense, that Dajjal is tricking you, just remember. And he says, I'm Allah. Just remember one thing. Your Allah is not one-eyed. Your Allah doesn't have one eye. So remember, that's the last straw. That everything's come so confusing. Just remember, my Allah has not one eye. He will come with water and fire, or garden and fire. Rasulullah said, look at this. His fire is water, and his water is fire. If he comes with two rivers flowing, fire and water, Rasulullah said, plunge into the fire. Yeah, you have dived into the cool waters of paradise. Don't go in his river or his water. That is actually the pits of hellfire. This is how much he will trick people. So we can't imagine what kind of treachery and deceit Dajjal will do at the time. He'll travel to many countries. Big fitna, big test for mankind. Various supernatural things he will do. As an example, Allah Pak will give him power. Why? To test the people's iman at that time. Allah Ta'ala make all of us successful. We can't pass small tests today. What will you do at that time? Allahu Akbar. He will cause the rain to fall from the skies. He will cause crops to grow from the floor. He will manage your bank accounts. He will make sure how much money goes in and out of your account. He will see whether you can have access to your family, your children. So he will come and test you. Do you believe I am Allah? You will say, okay, I believe in you. Allah protect all of us. So he'll say, okay. Make it rain. Make it grow. Crops will grow. Your animals, your maweshi, whatever, they'll be full of milk. Their homes will become really fat and thick. And they'll have loads of milk. And you live prosperous. You'll be prosperous, happy. Another guy, do you believe I am Allah? No, I don't. I know you're the kafir. You're the Dajjal. Okay? Don't let it rain upon him. Let his crops cease to grow. Take away his money, take away his family. You'll be living on leaves. You'll have no money. You'll go to your bank, put your card in the machine or check your account. You had £10,000 in the morning. You got never one pence left. The Dajjal will say, believe in me, I am Allah. I'll give you money to you. How will we pay? We can't even take zakat out. We can't even give £5 to the masjid. What will we do at that time? Imagine how difficult the test will be. Allah sabqa abda hifz umami rakim. Allahu Akbar. He will travel the whole world. He'll have jinnat with him. He'll go to your father's qabr. Allah protect us all. Amen. He'll go to your father's qabr. He'll have two shayateen and jinnat with him. And then he will resemble your father. He will strike the qabr. A jinn, a shaitan in the form of your father will come out of your father's qabr. And he will say, beta, listen to him. He is the savior. If you love me, beta, please listen to him. To that degree, imagine how difficult that test will be. And whoever believes in him becomes a kafir, will enter Jahannam. Whoever resists him will live hand to mouth, will live in difficulty and torture and persecution, but he will enter Jannat one day, inshallah. This is the test of Dajjal. So then he will travel the whole world, and his followers will be people from Khurasan. It's a land next to Bukhara and Iraq, and their faces will be like hammered shields. He can't enter Makkah and Medina Sharif. Apart from that, he'll travel the whole world. There'll be angels guarding Medina Sharif. He'll enter near behind Mount Uhud, where the salty marsh land is. And then he'll want to enter Medina Sharif, but there'll be 12 gates of Medina at that time. And there'll be two angels standing inside each gate of Medina Munawwara. Allah Pak will then cause an earthquake in Madina Munawwara, and the Munafiq will come out of Madina Munawwara. And ulama of Medina have told me this. According to our belief, the Munafiq of Medina are the Shia bloc. They will come out of Medina and they will join the army of Dajjal. So Dajjal, he will sprout up from a place called Asfahan. 70,000 people will follow him. Now listen to this next point. This point I'm telling you over and over, that the Shia will be his followers. Listen to this point. 70,000 people will follow him from Asfahan. Asfahan is a city in Iran. Which country? Iran. In Iran, south of Tehran. At this moment in time, there are 30,000 Jews living peacefully in Iran, in this city. Near Iran, in this city called Asfahan. 30,000 Jews, no problem. Khushi se, aram se, they are living in this city, which they know our Savior will come from. He will have two camps, Dajjal. One in a city called Khuz, one in a city called Karman. Where is Khuz? West Iran. Where is his base going to be? Iran. West Iran Khuz, that's one base. His second camp and his military base will be in a place called Kirman, southeast Iran. Akhilman ke liye ishara kafi hai nahi hai. So this is where he will have all his base. From there he will go out. Allahu Akbar. Aap log thak to nahi gaye? Nahi? To mujhe nahi pucha ki main thaka hu ya nahi. Kisne pani ka glass bhi nahi rakha yahan pe. So he will then go to Imam Mahdi alayhi Rizwan. He will go to Damascus. Damascus is where he will arrange. The Muslims' base will be Damascus, Dimashq. Dajjal, his base will be in Iran. Imam Mahdi alayhi Rizwan will arrange his army in Damascus. Dajjal will gather his forces outside Dimashq. It's a long story. I'm trying to go as fast as I can through it. Where Imam Mahdi will go to conquer Istanbul. It'll be a Christian country at the time. He will conquer Constantinople. When he will, Shaitan will give a whisper or a shariq at the time that Dajjal has emerged. So they will run back to Damascus and Dajjal won't be there yet. Later on, Dajjal will come outside Damascus. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, Dajjal will come when Jerusalem will become prosperous and Medina Munawwara will be in ruin. When Medina Munawwara will be in ruin, less people go in, people will begin to leave Medina Munawwara, people won't be attracted to Medina Munawwara. Jerusalem will be full of flourishing and prosperous. Medina Munawwara will be in ruins. At that time, when Medina Munawwara is in ruins, great wars will take place. When the great wars will take place, Constantinople will be conquered. When Constantinople will be conquered, then Dajjal will emerge. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Imam Mahdi will be now in Damascus. Dajjal will bring his army to Damascus. He's traveled everywhere. Now he's finally reached Damascus. He will live for 40 days on the earth. The first day will be 1 year. Second day will be 1 month. Third day will be 1 week. And then 37 days will be as normal days. He'll travel the whole world. Rasulullah said, look again. Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he will travel on the earth so fast and swift, he will leave a trail of smoke behind him. He will leave a trail of smoke behind him. Research this. Time doesn't allow to go into detail. Acha, so Imam Mahdi, he's in the masjid. Which masjid? The one just been liberated 2 weeks ago. Say mashallah, please. The Shia had it over 50 years. He got liberated a few weeks ago. And then the adhan was given. Khalid ibn Walid's Qabr Mazar is also near there. Hazrat Bilal ibn Ribaz Mazar and Qabr Maqam is also near there. That masjid got liberated. Ulama say of the strong opinion, he'll come to that masjid on the eastern minaret. So Imam Mahdi is about to lead namaz. Isa alayhi salatu salam will get to the eastern minaret of Jami Masjid Damascus in Syria. And he will come with his hands on the shoulders of two angels wearing whitish, yellowish, saffron colored clothes. His hair will be slightly, seems as though it's wet and pearls are falling from there. Reddish, whitish complexion of medium height. He looks like a Sahabi called Urwa ibn Mas'ud. Look at the description of Rasulullah. So no one can say, oh, I never knew. Look at the minutest detail. He even mentioned the minaret, the color of the minaret, which masjid, which city, what clothes he will be wearing on the day. Then he will come all the way down and he will enter inside the masjid, Jami Masjid Dimashq, Jazakallah. And then when he will enter inside the masjid, Imam Mahdi is about to lead the Fajr Salah, Iqamat has been said. But Imam Hazrat Isa al-Islam enters inside, Imam Mahdi will stop and he will say, you are the leader, please you come and recite the Salah. Isa al-Islam will say, no, no, you have to lead the Salah, Iqamat has been sent for you. I have a special mission Allah Pak has sent me for, and that is to kill Dajjal. He will have with him a spear that he has brought from the heavens. You will have a spear with him. Another sign of the day of Qiyamah, minor sign, not minor, that Hayat has to come, is technology will finish. Everything will go back, revert back to sticks, stones, spears, and swords, and bow and arrow. This is also hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Technology will reach its peak, and then it will dwindle down. So the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi rizwan, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, all of this, they'll be back to sword fighting, spear, archery, and lance, and bow and arrow. This is also going to revert back to that time from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can establish this. Isa al-Islam will meet with Imam Mahdi. The Muslims will be rejoicing. Acha, another point of a sign of the day of Qiyamah. At that time, listen very carefully now. At that time, all the true believers of with Iman will all be in Syria. Munafiq and people of weak Iman will be out of Syria. That's what Rasulullah said, if Syria is good, the Ummah is good. If Syria is corrupt, the Ummah is corrupt. So people of true Iman, Allah Pak will take him to Sham. Rasulullah encouraged, migrate to Sham towards the end of times. From this you can gauge our level of Iman. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So hadith of Rasulullah, a sign of the day of Qiyamah, the true believers will all have settled in Sham at that time. Allahu Akbar. So then Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he will talk with him, and either the next day or after Salah, he will open, ask for the doors to be open. He will go and pursue Dajjal. Dajjal will see him, Dajjal will try to escape. He'll have 70,000 Jews with him, all wearing green shawls around them. He will chase him to Bab al-Lud, east of Tel Aviv, about 9 miles away from Tel Aviv. Now Bab al-Lud, the Ottomans have also built a structure there to show Bab al-Lud. It's like an area, Bab al-Lud. It's got significance in Judaism, Christianity and Islam. For us, because that's the place where the Dajjal will be killed. At the moment, there is a Jewish military base there in Bab al-Lud area. So Isa al-Islam will chase him to there, and he will strike him just once. He'll melt away like salt, and he will get destroyed. The Dajjal will be finished. Isa al-Islam, wherever he will look, he will breathe. Wherever his eyes, as far as his eyes will go, the breath will go to that distance and kill all the Yahud. Every stone, every tree will say, behind me is Aduwullah, come kill him. Apart from one tree, I cannot recollect the name of the tree, I forgot it. But that one tree is known as the Jewish tree. The Jews are planting thousands of them right now all around Sham, because that tree is the one that will not speak against the Jews at that time. Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal, Yahud will be finished. At that time, now, this is the important part. This is when Isa alayhi salam, he'll break the cross, kill the khinzir, and abolish jizya. Quran Sharif then says, "Wa in min ahli al-kitabi illa la yu'minanna bihi qabla mawti." Every single ahli kitab left, Jew and Christian, will all become Muslim. This is the time of prophecy, of all of them will become Muslims. Not a single kafir will remain on the face of this earth. Everyone will embrace Islam. This will be called the first period of prosperity. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will then become the ruler. Imam Mahdi alayhi rizwan will die after 7 to 9 years. Only Islam will be left on the world. Islam will prevail, and there will be beautiful times, happiness. Everyone's heart will be one heart. Everyone will have love and sympathy and honor and respect for each other. Only a few years will go by, and who's going to come out? Huh? Only 1 hour. Shall I continue or shall I finish? You continue. Ya'juj, Ma'juj will come out. I'm going to continue around. So, I'm going to do. No one's going to work, are they tomorrow? Oh, actually, tomorrow people are going to work. Today, everybody's off. Better be in the masjid than outside, yes? Yeah. Then Ya'juj, Ma'juj will come out. Ya'juj, Ma'juj at the moment in time are buried behind two mountains, a valley in between, a wall of iron. molten copper and lead has been poured inside by Dhul Qarnayn, alayhi rahma. He buried them. Either they are boring through the wall every day, or the wall gets stronger the second day, or they're licking through the wall, different riwayat. But Allah Pak is not allowing them to come. They're not some sort of like, zombies or some sort of like, you know, alien nation. They're humans. The riwayat with the ears are so long, they flap over. There's no structure behind those hadith. It is fabricated tales. They are humans. They are from the children of Nuh al-Islam. Nuh al-Islam had four. One was the munafiq who got killed in the flood. Yafith, Sam, and Ham. They are from the awlad of Yafith. They look like Turks. Rasulullah described them. They'll have flattish, roundish faces like hammer with a shield, small beady eyes, reddish face, and they'll have the like a Mongolian. You've seen a Mongolian image? How they dress? And they have like swords in their hands. Exact same as the Mongolian. That's how they'll resemble. They won't be midgets or they won't be giants. You know, some people say they'll be so short like dwarfs, or they'll be as high as a tree, 120 foot. They are normal human, but they will be bloodthirsty. And some rivayas say, they'll eat everything. They'll eat elephants, they'll eat tigers, they'll eat humans. If one of them dies, they'll eat each other. I don't know what the source of these riwayat are, but they will come out and they are in billions. Even now they are reproducing, they have children, they have wives, they have food. Allah Pak has made an exam for them. They're hidden from our eyes. And when they eventually will come out, the progeny of Yafith ibn Nuh alayhi salatu salam, Ya'juj Ma'juj, they will cause havoc, destruction throughout the world. Isa alayhi salam will be told by Allah, "O Isa, none of the Muslims can fight these people. They're too strong for you. Take the believers, climb Mount Tur, stay on Mount Tur, wait for my further instruction. Just make dua against these people." Ya'juj Ma'juj will travel the whole world. They'll drink from River Tiberia first. They'll drink all of that water. They'll kill everything around them, destroy everything. Then they will say, "We have killed everyone on the earth. Let us go and kill everyone in the sky." They'll climb a mountain, they'll shoot arrows up. Allah Pak will get the angels, collect some of the arrows, put blood on them, send them back down. They'll say, "We've killed everyone in the sky, we've killed everyone on the earth, no one greater than us." Hadhrat Isa al-Islam will make dua against them. Allah destroy them. Allah Pak will give them a sudden death by putting an infection in their neck from which worms will come out. And then over this infection, they'll all collect, billions of them will get this infection, they'll fall on the floor, they'll all die like one person dying. Allah Pak will then accept a second dua. Long birds with long necks will come, scoop up these dead bodies, throw them away. Then Isa al-Islam will ask, make dua for rain. Rain will come and wash away all of the stench and the corpses and all the smell. But in there, Muslims will gather some of their bow and arrows and their spears. You know the hadith mentions? You know how much Ya'juj Ma'juj there will be? They will use their bow and arrow, the wood from their quiver, the bow, to light fires to keep themselves warm. You know how long they light the fire for from there, Saman? Up to 9 years. So just 9 years lighting fires every single day of the week, every single day of the month, the year, for seven to nine consecutive years. Imagine how much bow and arrows they had, and imagine how much number of Ya'juj Ma'juj there will be. Allah protect all of them from that fitna. Then Isa alayhi salatu salam, finishing the topic now. So Isa alayhi salatu salam will then come down from the mountain. Now the second period of prosperity starts, and in this period happens, Isa alayhi salam will live amongst the people. He will get married, he will have children. Honesty, trust, goodness will become a massive blessing. Lions will graze with camels, cheetahs, oxen, wolves will graze together. Children will play with poisonous, venomous snakes. Allah Pak will extract the poison out of the venom out of the snakes. A child can put his head inside the mouth of a lion. The lion won't kill him. There was so much barakah at that time during the second period of prosperity. A goat's milk will have so much barakah inside. It will be enough to sufficient to feed the entire household. Hatred, jealousy, rancor, envy, enmity will all disappear in the Muslims. Subhanallah. Imagine that day. Hey, when no one hates anyone, no one's against anyone, no one's two-faced or jealous regarding anyone. Everyone will become healthy. Everyone will become wealthy. Isa al-Islam will teach the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the people. And then he will live amongst the people. And after a short while, after 40 years, period is complete. He will either go for Hajj or Umrah. He will go to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Rasulullah said, as well, I can see him tying his ihram on. and going for Hajj or Umrah, I can see the Maqami Rawha, the place where people have visited there, where the prophets, they used to put the ihram and they pass through that valley. Then he will come and offer salam at my Rawda. He will give salam to me. I will reply back wa alayhi salam to him. And then later he will be buried in my chamber. And between Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hadhrat Umar and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Isa al-Islam, after he leaves from this world, this is established aqeedah, he will return back to this world. He will teach the Quran, wal hikmata, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the Quranic ayat. After he has left the world, Muslims will select a ruler amongst themselves over time. Then deen will become weak again. Musliman will go back to guna again. And then a time will come, rulers will come eventually, gradually become weak again. Corruption will start. Then some major signs will finish off in succession. There will be three landslides, one in the east, one in the west, one in the Arab peninsula, Jazirat al-Arab. Then there will be a thick fog or a smoke for 40 days that will cover the entire earth. Nobody will know the explanation behind why has it happened, how has it happened, what's the reason, what's the science behind it. After that, Dabatul Ard, a beast-like creature which will talk with the people, أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَةُ الْأَرْضِ, it will come out between Safa and Marwa, close to Safa, with the staff of Musa alayhi salam and the ring of Suleiman alayhi salam. With the staff of Musa alayhi salam, he will touch every Muslim. And when he touches them, their faces will shine bright. And with the ring, he'll touch every kafir, their face will become black. From that day onwards, they'll be known as all Muslim or kafir. That's the only two people left on the face of this earth. On the very same day, the sun will rise. Ulama have said either before or after on the same day, the sun will, in the morning, it will, rather than rising from the place of its setting, sorry, rising from the place where, from the east, it will rise from the west, the place of its setting. So when the sun will rise, Allah will send a wind. This is either in this order or it's a different order. This wind will come and touch all those faces, which are white, gently under the armpit. They will feel a bit dizzy, swoon away, and they will faint, fall down, they will die. And then Qiyamah will come upon all the kafir on the face of this earth. Allah will say, Israfil, blow the trumpet. He will blow it for 40 years long, everyone. And that's when Quran Sharif says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُبِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. When the sun will get enveloped with darkness and the stars will lose their light and fall down, and the mountains will become like wolf flying in the skies. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ, when the animals will run out. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, when people will forget about their wealth and their camels. All of this will happen then. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, when the rivers will catch fire and everything will be all over the place, and then everything will be destroyed. So this will be the description of the final hour, the final moments. And in that we have established through the Quran and Sunnah that Isa alayhi salam is to return back to the earth. Allah Pa give me the tawfiq. Allah Pa give all of us tawfiq to adhere to this aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah Pa keep us firm and steadfast upon this aqeedah. My dear friends, it's not about, you know, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Sahaba Ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah, when is it going to happen? Rasulullah said one simple answer. What have you prepared for it? So rather than, you know, checking out this video or that video or this alim's analysis or this alim's theory and this alim did this and this person's research, you start googling, where's the Ya'juj Ma'juj ball? You know, where is it? Bermuda Triangle, Dajjal? You know, is it Great Wall of China? You know, we start looking into things and we just waste hours and hours. Or maybe Dajjal is just a myth, you know. Maybe the West is Dajjal and this country is Ya'juj Ma'juj and this country. Rasulullah has given us to the pinpoint accurate descriptions and he told us the events. We don't have to get into when, how, what. All we need to do is, Rasulullah said, Ma'a adatta laha. And Sahabi, Matta sa'a ya Rasulullah. When is it coming? When is it all happening? The Prophet Islam switched the question back on him. Ma'a adatta laha. What have you done to prepare for it? So we have to adhere to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the sunnah in its pristine form, acquire knowledge, ilmi sahih, visit the masjid, participate in halqa of gusht, of ta'aleem, in dars of Quran, in majalis, have good company, stay away from bad company, protect our aqeedah. If we feel that someone is challenging my aqeedah, someone is trying to damage my belief and my creed, my aqeedah, come to your ulama, ask them questions, sit with them, learn, make your aqeedah strong, acquire ilmi sahih, stay within this four walls of safety, inshallah, and we will see better days to come, and pass this amanat on to our children, and they can pass on to their children, so we are equipped in every era, every time, every situation, of how to tackle the fitnas and the dark forces that will come upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah pak give me the tawfiq, Allah pak give all of us tawfiq, wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, sallallahu an nabiyyil umiyyuma alayna idal balagh.